prompt immediately when the video starts. Anyway, good morning. Where are we? This is especially impromptu today because I didn't announce it in advance. There's a bit too much stuff happening today. Is this going live or what? One waiting. Is that me? Looks live. Thanks, YouTube. As I'll talk about in a moment, we have come to the other side of the world. We are in Oslo. We being family and I think it's live. Yeah, there we go. Oh, let's just say it's live and then we'll see what happens. I'll tweet the stuff. Yeah, live in Oslo. It is the tail end of NDC after both talks having been done. All the usual euphoria and everything. But feeling a bit tired, unsurprisingly. I don't think it's jet lag anymore. I think we're past the jet lag point. But anyway, that is the tweets of the things done. So let's jump into it. All right, YouTube, good, chat, bam. Right, where were we? 404, Troy not found, Stephen's here, well done. I did think about the 404 thing. This is episode 404. Like, do I not publish it? Then no one turns up. Do I not push the blog post? Do I skip it and go to 405? Is it all just too much geek humor and we should just get on with it and do the damn video? Let's do that. All right, so I am in Oslo. I have come to the absolute other side of the world again. I was figuring out the other day, this is actually the third time I've been back here since September. So we are getting back to Europe and Norway in particular quite a bit, which is good because family. So we've been back here since Saturday. I had to think about that. Saturday, it is now Friday at the time of recording. So the jet lag is well and truly passed, which is good. Did pretty well with that. Stefan's there. G'day, Stefan. Yeah, we've come back for a bunch of things that I'll talk about in a moment, but I wanted to come back for summer. Like, this was obviously NDC and everything, which we'll mention in a moment, but this was the plan to come back and it would be summer in Europe and it would be really nice. And it's been kind of nice, but I'm looking outside the window. It's overcast. My watch says it is 13 degrees Celsius in the summer. Now, I know, I don't have to look it up, but every time I go and have a look at the forecast back home, it's like 23 degrees, sunny, clear, beautiful. And unfortunately, we have just not had the best for here. It hasn't been terrible. There's been a bit of rain, but there's also been a bit of sun. So after Norway, I think we're going to get the good weather. So I might talk about that at the end of this week's video. Yeah, Stephen's saying, summer, please let me know when it arrives in the UK. Apparently it was really nice in May here. And people were like, oh, it was so hot. It was like in the high 20s. We didn't know what to do with ourselves. In fairness, the hottest I have been for a very long time was in Oslo in summer in 2019. And the theory that I have, and I think this is a sound theory, is that everything here is made to keep places warm. So when we were here in December, it was, I think, pushing minus 20-ish. So maybe minus 15 was the last we saw in Oslo in the city. So everything's meant to heat up. So when it is warm, all the buildings are like, we just want to keep the warm air in, which is not great for when you're super hot. Let's do the sponsor. And then we'll move on with other Norway and NDC things. Sponsor this week is 1Password. This is the 1Password that is now 1Password and Collide. As I mentioned, I think in various previous episodes, Collide, long-term sponsor, recently rolled into the 1Password family. 1Password Extended Access Management, previously known as Collide. Secure every sign-in for every app on every device. And it is fascinating to look at the way 1Password as, and I don't say this in my 1Password board advisory thing either, I think just as a general observation, it was all about passwords. And when I started using it back in 2011, I think, that was like the single biggest problem we're solving. Now, of course, we've got passwords and multi-factor and passkeys and all sorts of things. Apple's had their WWDC this week. I should talk about that as well, actually. Where they've launched a password manager. Password management alone, I think, is now sort of the thing that has been done and done very, very well. But it's now extending to everything from how do we share secrets. I know every time I need to share things like we have a new enterprise level have a main Prime subscriber, and I've got to give them some keys. So, okay, well, there's a shared secret thing in 1Password where I can securely share it. And that's not just a password thing, that's a collaboration thing. But the extended access management, secure every sign-in for every app on every device. Modern security and IT teams need to make sure every identity, device, and application is secure. Only 1Password extended access management checks every box. So now password management has gone beyond just how do I store my variation of the dog's name and the year I went to university, if we turn it into something different. How do we actually extend that out into every point that people have to touch and authenticate things? Someone just said audio is very low. Best suggestion there is turn up your audio, because all I've done is plug a microphone in, and that's the same one I use every time, so I have very little control over that. Apologies if it is too low. It's just one of those while you're traveling things. I literally have one of the Rode podcast, I think it's a Rode podcaster mic, it's like a little shotgun mic, plugs into the bottom of the iPhone, it's sat on the tripod. I've tried to find natural light, there's not a lot of it at the moment in the Norwegian summer, which is a bit of a shame. Stefan says it's 12 in Iceland. Yeah, well, it's called Iceland, mate. What were you expecting? Brandon says, I've got my Mac on max volume, admittedly a tad quiet even then. Oh, sorry, mate. There's literally no buttons or other things that do things on there. So, yep. TV's on max, mate. A hotel can barely hear why cheer. Okay, I still think that's my fault. So I shall do as well as I can. Sorry, folks. Audio sounds for the same level as always, says Stephen, which has always been a bit quieter than other YouTube vids. But I think as always is normally when I'm at home and I have the whole setup. Regardless, my volume buttons are not going to do anything, I don't think. This wants me to turn it off and on again. If I turn it off, I'll lose this link and I'll lose this stream and I don't know how I'm going to get back. So hopefully you can just max your volumes, and that's about the best I can do at the moment, but I'll look into that later before I do it next week. Now, let's move on from volumes. So, where were we? Right, yes, Norway. So, it is NDC Oslo 2024. The significance of this for me is the very first NDC that I ever went to was NDC Oslo 2014. It's a decade already, which does feel a bit like a lifetime. And it was a very different life for me then. And a decade is it's a milestone. And along with being a milestone, everything just sort of coincided this year. Where it's like, okay, we wanted to be back here for NDC. It's summer, the timing worked. It worked well with this kids' school holidays. My parents are here as well, just doing a European Scandi tour thing. They've been to Norway before, but not since I've had such an affinity to it. So all of this happened at once. And it worked out that I could do the opening keynote for NDC. And sorry, Stefan, I didn't have a link to send you. You have to watch it later, mate. I didn't completely forget that I tried. So it worked out. I could do the opening keynote. And opening keynotes are kind of interesting. So, you know, you're meant to be broader than delving into a technology. You're meant to be insightful and you're meant to set a tone and I guess an enthusiasm for the coming days. And I did do an opening keynote for NDC, although I feel it was 2017, but very, very different life. And as I was thinking about this, I've had months to plan for this. As I was thinking about this keynote, I think in the back of my mind, I was thinking about the significance of the event for me. The 10 years, obviously having met Charlotte as the NDC project manager 2014 in very different phases of our life and then becoming married to her. I just felt there had to be something there, but then I didn't want it just to be a story about this is my NDC journey. I started down a path when I planned this that then totally changed. And what I ended up pivoting it to is the more I sort of thought about software developers, and we have about, I think it's about 2,500 people at NDC Oslo. Stefan has seen this many times before. It's a massive event, and everyone is there to try and learn new things and be better at what they do. And the theme that I end up centering around is around the leverage of technology and software. and mostly how much we can do with so little. You know, it's kind of wild to think that Have I Been Pwned obviously being the catalyst of this for me, but how big that thing has got from something very, very small. So I talked a lot about having learned to write software literally from a For Dummies book. I have an HTML For Dummies book, and that's how I learned to write the things that eventually became Have I Been Pwned. I dropped out of university. I didn't finish my degree. Finished most of it, but then I got busy. Life happened. I didn't have formal qualifications. I didn't do all of the sort of very high overhead things that many people do for their professions. Like if you want to be a doctor, or the example I use because my father was there as well. First time my mum and dad ever saw me do a talk, which was cool, is he was an Air Force pilot and then an airline pilot, and the barriers of entry that he had to his profession were massive compared to the ones that we have in ours, where we can just go out and we can get For Dummies book, Pluralsight courses, online things, like whatever you want, and you can become a professional and a successful professional with those resources. Equally, the risks that we take on board in this industry are very different. The ability for us to experiment and fail is really different. I used an example partway through the talk, which people seem to really like, which is like, you know, how many of you have ever coded drunk before? And all these people are like, it's like, you reckon my dad got to do that when he was exercising his profession? It's like, you don't get into the airplane, you know, three beers in. Not if you're driving the airplane, this is the point. So anyway, that keynote went really well. I was very happy with that. I did a bunch of AI-related stuff as well. It was recorded. It will be live at some point. So I'll share it all then without blowing the whole thing now. And then the other one, which of course I've been talking about in these weekly videos for a while now, was the 3D printing talk with my 11-year-old daughter Elle, which we did last thing yesterday. It rocked. It was really, really good fun. A couple of things went wrong, which is fine because we did actually have a printer. We were designing and printing things there on the stage. But she was able to be up there doing this, talking to the audience, engaging. She was a little bit nervous, which you would expect. It took me many, many years of doing this to not be nervous. But we just made it a lot of fun where we'd 3D printed a bunch of stuff. We'd 3D printed this massive catapult, and then we'd 3D printed all these projectiles and like glow-in-the-dark filament. We had a little light box that made them all glow, and then we'd put them in the catapult and we'd shoot them up into the audience. Never been done in an NDC before, catapulting things into the audience. And then if you caught one of them, then you get a prize later on. And it just made it good fun because she's there just like catapulting stuff into the crowd. Massive room. I think there was about 200 people in there. It's one of those rooms that just like descends up into the darkness and you've got bright lights in your face. So you just sort of see this blurry crowd of people. But we did talk about a lot of practical stuff about how the printers work, about resources for where you can get things to print, about some of the useful stuff that we printed before. And I really hope we left a bunch of people going, I really want to go and get a printer now. And I think people get a little bit surprised of how easily accessible it is. It's $799 to get a Prusa Mark IV kit. That's US dollars, which you then build yourself. And it's such a fun project to get involved in, such a fun thing to build, and then such a fun tool to have and continue to create things later on. That was recorded also. I'll share that one when it comes out. There's usually a few weeks lead time or something with these. Anyway, super good fun there. Now, that's all the NDC Oslo things. I'm going to wrap this up shortly. I'm going to talk about one more thing first and then head back over there to pack the printer up and send it back to Prague, back to Prusa. Disappearing luggage air tags. This got more comments than I had expected. So here's a story, and this is a bit of an odd thing. I have air tags on most of our things. Cars, keys, wallets, obviously luggage, backpacks, all those sort of things. And the Apple air tags are awesome. They're cheap as chips. The battery on them lasts, I reckon we're getting probably a year to 18 months out of a CR2032 battery. It's fantastic for everything from when you've lost your keys through to we have had occasions where luggage has not made the flight and you're looking at your phone going, crap, I know. That's still in Australia, isn't it? Really, really useful for that. And I have done dozens and dozens and dozens of flights with AirTags on all of my things. Now, my theory with the luggage is that if the AirTag is on the outside of the luggage and it's not behind our luggage, we've got some of those hard plastic shell luggages. It's not behind that. It's not under multiple layers of clothes and belts and other things with interference. Let's keep it where it's got the greatest possible signal. And this has been fine for, it must have been 30 plus flights. Until last week. And this is what I'm trying to figure out what's going on. People, because it's the internet, you ask a question and everyone goes off down rather rabbit holes. But we had a situation where Al had gone on a school camp and she's got her luggage with her AirTag. She's come from Canberra back to the Gold Coast and the AirTag has not come with her. And when she got back, I was like, yeah, what's going on? And I've looked at the little holder and it's one of the rubber ones that you have to sort of, you have to massage quite a bit, but eventually you can get the AirTag in there. And I'm like, I wonder if, I guess it's possible that it like went onto the belt somewhere and then got squeezed and then it came out the side because it's, excuse me. As soon as we looked at her phone, we could see that the AirTag was still in Canberra. The holder itself on her bag, AirTag, still in Canberra. So anyway, I passed it off as a one-off. Then we've flown from Brisbane to Norway. And our bags come out pretty quick. And I'm looking at the bags, and two of the bags, AirTags are gone. And these were AirTag holders. One of them was another rubberized one. But again, dozens of flights, no problems. Then it's just disappeared. One of them was a hard plastic shell that you really have to pry open quite difficultly. Ah, it's not easy. In order to get the AirTag out. And you look on the Find My AirTag thing, and they're both in Brisbane. So within the space of less than 24 hours, actually, that's three different AirTags at two different airports in Australia where the AirTag has departed from the luggage, almost certainly by human intervention. Now, the first point I was trying to make here when I put this tweet out is this never happened before through lots of flights, then it's happened to three of them all at once. What's going on? Is there like a concerted airport workers' attempt to remove all of the AirTags, for example? And then a bunch of people came up with theories which were largely wrong. I'll explain what I mean by largely wrong. First of all, they're not falling off accidentally. Second of all, they're not being stolen because they're still just sitting there in the airport. I can literally still see them in Brisbane Airport. It's not like someone's got a lucrative trade in stolen, repurposed AirTags. And even then, it's baggage handlers, right? Like, it would be theft of personal items. Now, secondly, a bunch of people are like, you can't put batteries in luggage. You can, right? You can definitely put that style and size of battery in luggage. The key is you cannot have them sitting there freely, not mounted in a device in your luggage. Now, one of the reasons I know this, first of all, we all read the terms and conditions when we book tickets, and it's in there. In the most bizarre location ever, I got pulled up on this. So I would often travel with the GoPro. I've got, particularly if I'm going snowboarding or things like that, GoPro's in the luggage. I've got a little kit that's got the GoPro with the battery, and I've got a spare battery that sits next to it, not mounted. And when we were in Laplands, of all places, about 18 months ago, in this tiny little airport, checking all the baggage and everything, go through security, we're sitting in this little airport, and over the loudspeaker is like calling my name. I'm like, oh shit, okay. I wonder what I did wrong here. And I get called up to security, and they've obviously scanned my luggage. In my luggage, there's the GoPro case. In the GoPro case, there's one GoPro battery that's not mounted. And they're like, look, you can't check in batteries that aren't mounted. You know, took it out. Here you go. Just put it in your backpack and you're fine. And take note, when you do check in, you do actually get asked this. Like, do you have any batteries, free batteries, sitting in your luggage? And I did a bunch of reading at the time, and that was always the key. And it seems to be the concern is if you have batteries that aren't mounted in a device, it's possible they could either get shorted or squished or something like that. And I do wonder if that was part of the concern with the AirTag. If it's on the outside, what if it gets an impact and hits someone? But free roaming batteries are the issues. Batteries installed in devices are not the issue. Have a think about the number of things that you end up having in your check-in bags, which have batteries. Electric shaver, for example. I've got one of those normal manual shavers, but it's got the little vibrating thing that was meant to shave you better. It's in my toilet bag. It's in the bag the whole time. The issue is not the battery. The issue is the free roaming battery. Anyway, I think the end result of this is that people sent a bunch of interesting links. So one of them was an AirTag holder where you actually need an Allen key to get it off, which actually looked really good. But someone else sent a good one, which I think is maybe the right answer here, where there's like a fabric pouch with one sticky side that you can stick on, say, the very outer... That's not the right word. You open your suitcase and you stick it to the inside of the suitcase. So it's going to sit as far away from, you know, all your other things that might have interference as possible. And then you can slide the AirTag into there. I'm sure, given our fondness of 3D printing at the moment, there's probably something we can print to do this. But I just found it super weird. I couldn't find an answer for it. There are various stories about different workers' unions or airports or things being a bit upset about tracking devices, but they're not GPS either. This is the other thing. Someone's like, yeah, but... there's all these arguments about having GPS tracking devices in your luggage. It's not GPS. It does not have a GPS thingy in it. Unit, radio, whatever you call it. So I don't know. I just found it weird. I now need to go and find three more AirTags because they are super useful. And I've had multiple occasions where luggage hasn't made it. And that's been really handy, particularly when, if you've ever not had your luggage arrive before, you get to the airport, you're on the belt, all the bags have come by and you're going, ah, shit. And then they go, we will send your bags to, go to your hotel, we'll send your bags to you. And I remember being in New Zealand, I think last year in April, went to New Zealand, and bags didn't make it. And we obviously weren't going to get our bag today because there wasn't going to be another flight. But being able to see where the luggage actually was and then know when it's on its way to you, super, super useful and so worth the, you know, $30 or whatever an AirTag actually costs. Yeah, so anyway, that's AirTags. All right, so it is Friday. I'm going to go to NDC. I've got to pack this 3D printer up and get ready to send it back to Prague. We're going to be here in Oslo for another few days, and then we're going to Greece. So I've never been to Greece. We are trying to use these trips to go somewhere that we haven't been to before. Kids have never been to Greece. We're going to some Greek islands, and we're going to Athens for a little bit, and just to do holiday stuff and hopefully get some sun, unlike what we've had here in Norway. So with that already said, what's this? Gordon Beam said, I'm assuming someone has already said they can't find this week's video. I actually thought you were serious for a moment. Thank you very much for watching. Weekly update 404 not found. I'll do this again from Greece. I think we'll be in Santorini on Friday next week. So I'll even see if I can get a decent view and some sunshine before it is. Cheers, folks. Thank you very much for watching.